ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Fantasy Foot Beer. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well, James. Thank you for asking. It is a lovely Wednesday afternoon. The sun is shining. My neighbor is like building a garden or something. He's got a huge pile of rocks. It's taking up half the road. My cross the street neighbor, taking half the road. I can barely turn into my driveway, but he's making it smaller right now, so I'm appreciative, but I don't know what he's doing with all these rocks. You can have grass somewhere in your yard, my man. Anyway, I'm doing good. Work sucked, but we're not at work right now. We are talking fantasy football. We're moving to a different division, and we're talking about the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens, but the first part of June has passed. There were trades. There were retirements. There were signings. We have all of it to talk about, James, but first I want to hear how you are doing today.
I'm doing all right, Stu. I wouldn't exactly call it a chill day, but a productive day. I mowed the lawn. That's about it.
Nice.
I'm very ready to talk about fantasy football and drink some beers with you. And as you said, some good news. Well, not all good news, but some news to talk about goodly. And in order for us to do that, we obviously have to be drinking beer. So, Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I've got another one from the good old Sturdy Shelter Brewing in Batavia, Illinois. This is the Rowdy's American Pale Ale with Citra and Cascade hops. This beer is packed with citrus and floral aromas. You know, sounds fun. light stuff. I'm usually more of a dark guy, but I'm excited to drink it. 5.5% ABV. I'm sure you've had it because you recommended it and gave it to me. But first, James, before I crack into this, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I am drinking from Black Horizon Brewing Company in Willowbrook, Illinois, the Midnight Fistfight Hazy IPA. That's a great name, Midnight Fistfight. The can is fun, too. It's got, like, two disembodied zombie fists punching each other. It's a hazy IPA, a 7 ABV, 20 IBU beverage. And let's crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. And there we are. All right. So, as we are pouring these, over the last week, we've had some interesting trades. I think we should start with those. The biggest one isn't going to matter too much for fantasy football, as it was a primarily defensive player swap. But I feel like we would be remiss to not talk about Myles Garrett being traded to the Rams for Jared Verse, a 2027 first rounder, a 2028 second rounder, and a 2029 third rounder. When is the last time that the Rams have had a first-round pick? Did they have a first-round pick this year?
And they took Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
13th overall.
Oh, yeah.
How did you forget? Come on.
I mean, it's... Yeah, how could I forget?
Why would they not trade that? Sorry, that doesn't matter. Go ahead, please.
Anyway, Myles Garrett being one of... Well, they go from having one of the best edge rushers of his generation and Aaron Donald to having kind of the next man up and Myles Garrett just continually having monsters on defense. And Jared Verse was very good in his own right too. The 2024 Defensive Player of the Year, going back to the Browns. This feels like kind of a better move for the Browns than it does for the Rams. I know it's Myles Garrett and I know he's fantastic, but like planning for the future of the franchise, I feel really good about what the Browns are getting out of this. And it didn't seem, I know it's Myles Garrett again, but it didn't seem like they gave up that much for what they got. So if not for the general ineptitude of that franchise, I would feel really good about that for the Browns. What do you think, Stu?
Well, I feel much better about it for the Rams. I mean, who cares if you have a future if you win a Super Bowl right now? I mean,
yeah.
And also, you mentioned Aaron Donald. I don't know if you've heard the kind of joking, rumbling rumors that he might come out of retirement just to play with Myles Garrett, which would be insane.
I have heard. He's not as old as we think he is.
Right. I mean, he's not going to be, you know, prime Aaron Donald if he comes back after 2 years off in retirement, but I think that would be a really fun storyline. I mean, fantasy impact of this overall is not massive. I mean, you have to take it into account if you're going to be looking at any of the other NFC West quarterbacks, the Sam Darnolds, the Brock Purdy's, the Jacoby Brissett / Carson Beck's, the running backs too, if you're a Jeremiah Love enjoyer, or a, well, probably not Christian McCaffrey. I'm sure they can scheme around Miles with Christian, but I mean, it should be really fun to watch. I'm excited to watch it, but for our purposes, James, if we can move on to the next trade, it was the well-mentioned, we expected this for months and months, A.J. Brown was traded to the Patriots from the Eagles for a 2028 first-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. So he finally gets to play for his favorite team. He's reunited with Vrabel in New England, and Drake May has a stud wide receiver to, you know, flop a dying bird of a football as he gets sacked by an actually legitimate defense, since he actually has to play good teams this year. How you feel about this one, James? Does this move the needle a lot for you on A.J. Brown?
Before I talk about A.J. Brown, I got to say, I just took my first sip of this beer. The Midnight Fist Fight is going very high on my rankings after this. This is fantastic. But for A.J. Brown moving to the Patriots, Drake May gets really his first experience with a true wide receiver one. I think this does move the needle for both A.J. Brown and Drake May. I think that, well, I'm not really sure yet where to think of where A.J. Brown should be drafted. But as we were talking off air, Stu, it kind of seems like the wide receiver depth chart, if you will, rankings is kind of shallow. So having A.J. Brown going into a situation where he can be probably a little bit more productive than he was before, I think that is kind of a rising tide lifts all ships. And who else was Drake May going to throw to? There is like nobody over there. So as much as I hate to see the Patriots get a solid weapon, this is going to be good for the Patriots, I'm sure. And a 2028 first rounder and a 2027 fifth, that seems about right for A.J. Brown. Good that we don't have to keep talking about this trade anymore because it was getting a little bit old.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two things that I have on my news here, Drake London gets a 4-year extension. Good for him. Probably deserved that one. And Brandon Ayuk, an arrest warrant for him due to a misdemeanor speeding situation. I think, as you said off air, Brandon Ayuk is kind of I think he's done.
Mm-hmm.
His relevance has come and passed. He's squandered some great opportunities. Some of those things are his fault, some of them are not. This is definitely his fault, but yeah, I don't think we're gonna need to talk about Brandon Ayuk a whole lot in the future.
Nope, definitely not. It was unfortunate because I was actually a big fan of his going to San Francisco way back in the day. But, I mean, there was the arrest warrant, and then I don't know if you noticed, but he posted a video of himself on a racetrack just, you know, minutes to hours after that arrest warrant was released. It's not a great look. Oh, his PR people they have a tall task ahead of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we didn't talk about the other signings either from the Giants, it was OBJ plus Braxton Berrios plus Juju Smith-Schuster. And I just kind of wanted to pick your brain because not a lot of this has been reported or brought out to the public, but does this worry you about Malik Nabers at all? Malik Nabers being the wide receiver one in New York, recovering from a torn ACL, been a little quiet on his front, and now they're signing a lot of, you know, has been wide receivers. It could just be for depth, but does this worry you at all, James?
Not a ton. I don't think that's the message that I would get out of this. I would get the message that they're trying to bring in veteran presence into a young team that has had some young leaders make weird choices recently. So bringing in some guys who've been around the block, who have made some dumb choices of their own and have seen kind of the highs and lows of what it's like to be in the NFL. That's more what I got out of those signings. But
getting veteran presences out of Odell Beckham Jr. and Juju Smith-Schuster, I don't know what world we live in right now. That's the wildest thing I've ever heard in my life, looking up to those guys.
I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. has really been everywhere in the NFL. He has won a Super Bowl. He's been considered a top wide receiver in the NFL. He's been a nobody in the NFL. So I think he could really, him specifically could be a guy who could lend some perspective to this young Giants team. Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, has probably nothing to offer, but that's just my opinion of him. But yeah, that's my read on the situation. I'm not really thinking about it in terms of being worried about Malik Nabers.
Okay. Well, as a dynasty Malik Nabers owner, I do appreciate those words. Oh, yes. But talking about the teams today, we should get into it now that we're a third of the way through the episode's length. Uh-huh. Talking about the Browns, talking about the Ravens. If you don't mind, we could start talking about the Browns first. They have a little bit more on their roster to bite into, to nibble on, and there's nothing in the quarterback room that I want to nibble on. Currently, Deshaun Watson is the favorite to be the quarterback one. Not been announced. These guys, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Deshaun Watson, they're going to be off of our radars for fantasy drafts in 2026. I do not care. I mostly only care about how they affect their skill position players, so don't give any credit or credence to those quarterbacks just yet. Anything on them, James, or do you want to bite into the actually interesting people?
Not really anything. I will say that either of those guys is going to have a tough time positively impacting their cadre of young wide receivers that we'll get into. But the guy I really want to talk about is a guy who was a bright spot on my teams last year, and that was Quinshon Judkins. At the running back position, I'm currently seeing him going at the RB22 in PPR. In several mock drafts that I ran today, I've seen him go in the 5th and the 6th. I've seen him kind of, in my mind, being undervalued in drafts so far. And I think there's some pretty good reasons for him to be undervalued. You know, he was a little bit up and down last season, especially in the back half of the season, despite having some really explosive moments and showing signs of him potentially being a premier running back in the NFL. But it wasn't continuous. He did have his problems. Yes, he was playing for the Browns, and the Browns have their own host of issues. But I think the Browns also quietly had a very good draft. I thought that they addressed a lot of positions of need, and getting deeper in their offensive line and getting deeper in other areas of the game, such as drafting two wide receivers in the second round, should positively impact Quinshon Judkins. So if he falls to the 6th round, I don't really see that happening. He should be taken by the end of the 5th round. I would be super excited about that. I would love to have Quinshon Judkins as my 6th player on my team. I don't see Dylan Sampson of having a legitimate shot of taking meaningful snaps away from him. Same with Raheem Sanders. I think that Quinshon Judkins should be looked at as a value pick there and should see a lot of time in your starting lineup. Stu, what do you think?
Well, when I first looked at his name in these notes, I was thinking to myself, yeah, that really feels like a value. I mean, looking above him in standard, he's right now running back 20, just behind Bucky Irving, Travis Etienne Jr., Breece Hall, Javonte Williams, and there's a smattering of names there that I would probably like to draft him over, looking at you, Javonte Williams. But one thing that we should not forget is that while he was inconsistent at the end of last year, he was also cut short by an injury. He fractured his fibula as well as dislocated his ankle. I think a similar kind of beat to Cam Scadaboo's, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not a doctor, but that is something that...
You are a doctor.
Not of ankles and fibulas.
You are literally a doctor.
Not of ankles and fibulas. Look, nobody fractured their eyeballs last season. Except for...
That's not
who
true
was
either.
It? It wasn't a fracture. It was not a fracture. We are very specific with medical terminology. It was Ramondre, wasn't it? Who was it?
It was...
No, it was Najee.
It was Najee Harris.
Yes.
And Anthony Richardson.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. My gosh. Resistance bands? Look, I have very specific phobias in life, just like everyone else does. Resistance bands are one of my phobias. They will wreck your eyes. I felt so bad for him when that happened, because I've seen it happen before, and it's nasty business. Anyway, Quinshon Judkins, we still should imagine, you know, not imagine, but just keep in our minds that he's coming off of a very serious injury, just like Scadaboo. So that makes me temper my, oh my gosh, this is a great value, you should go out and get him right now. I mean, I kind of like where he is with all of these factors playing in my mind. I think it's reasonable to keep him in the high teens of running backs. I think he should have a good season and he should have a good career, but we also play for the Browns and we don't know exactly what the Browns are going to look like with Watson back under center and with these new wide receivers. And James, we got to talk about these wide receivers because we've got a lot of new names, but we also have the veteran presence, Jerry Jeudy, your boy from way back in the day. I will never stop referencing this. He is a person I would see as some of the highest disparity in the possibilities for what his season could be. Last season, 50 catches, 600 yards, and 2 touchdowns, really, really down, not looking good at all, but is still very, very talented, and given that he's competing with just 2 rookie wide receivers and then a second-year Harold Fannin for targets in a person who has played good quarterback play in the National Football League before in Watson. There's upside here for the end of your drafts that I kind of am a little bit interested in, James. Do you have anything to say on Mr. Jude's?
I'm not looking at Jerry Jeudy really at all. He's kind of a guy who has had his chance to do big things in fantasy football and in the NFL and has never really made the most of his opportunities. And
we always have 2024. 2024 Jerry Jeudy was good.
I think that he is one of the most disappointing wide receivers I can think of. And that is mostly because of the faith that I placed in him as a rookie to go toe-to-toe against CeeDee Lamb. That's on me. But also, the thing we ignore about that famous draft bet between us, Stu, I picked Jerry Jeudy, you picked CeeDee Lamb. You know, we were both wrong.
I mean, I don't care. I was right.
Justin Jefferson was in that draft.
No one even cares. He has J.J. McCarthy and Kyler Murray throwing to him. Let's temper expectations here.
Anyway, when I'm looking at these wide receivers, I think we were all a little bit surprised to see the Browns take 2 receivers in the second round, like right after each other. But they are 2 very good receivers and 2 very different receivers, too. Casey Concepcion, a smaller guy who has very good hands and is a very fast kind of player. Denzel Boston, a guy who I thought could have been one of the top prospects at wide receiver this year, and they took him after Concepcion. I thought Boston was better. So they're going to have a really talented but young and well-rounded wide receiver core that I think should help out whoever plays quarterback there. But I was really surprised to see those guys. I kind of feel like we're not going to be able to pick one to be the guy to step up and be extremely fantasy relevant. And that's putting Jerry Jeudy to the side. There is the possibility that these two guys and Harold Fannin take enough heat off of Jerry Jeudy that he's going to finally have the season that we've all been waiting for him to have. And he has 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns, and he's a league winner going either in the 14th round or undrafted. But I don't necessarily see that happening. I think this is kind of going to be a Packers situation where it's going to be really hard to predict who is who on what day and who to start. But it could end up being that Jerry Jeudy is the biggest value in draft history, or Casey Concepcion is, or Denzel Boston is. I think it's just super hard to predict right now. And I think if we are looking for, well, I'm not going to say a sure thing in this wide receiver or receiving situation here in Cleveland, I think Harold Fannin is a lot more reliable. But what do you make of all this?
If you want reliability, it's Fannin all the way. I'm more looking at Jerry Jeudy as a guy that you can get very late in drafts. I mean, let me see about where he's going in standard as I kind of vamp here for a second, and especially with two wide receivers that are rookies flanking him. I mean, you don't expect them to go off on the early parts of the season, so he definitely has the option of playing super well in the early going. Last time he played very well, that I believe that was with Watson, correct me if I'm wrong, but 2024, when he kind of blew up for a few weeks, it was with Deshaun Watson and not the conglomeration of Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel in 2025. Mm-hmm. Right now he's going in standard as the wide receiver 58. I mean, this is a throw him on your bench and see what happens, as he is the de facto wide receiver one in this offense, despite not being, I think, the overall first receiving option. I think that is Fan, and I think he's proven that at this point, which is crazy to say about a second-year tight end. So in his rookie season, 72 receptions, just over 700 yards and 6 touchdowns, making some acrobatic catches and really driving the incumbent David Njoku out of town. David Njoku is now down in L.A. with the Chargers. So it's all Fannin all day, all season this year. So he is coming at not a premium price in drafts, James. It's somewhere around the sixth round. You know those, it feels like every single year you get the second round tight end prospects in the fifth and the sixth rounds, and it's very hit or miss whether they're going to work. This year it's not quite Loveland, but Tyler Warren's going to be there and Harold Fannin is going to be there. Very reasonable to throw him onto your team at that point, in my opinion. I do not think you'll go wrong, but it bears a little more risk than I think Warren or Loveland do. A fan of it, it might be a little overpriced for me. I probably will look at tight end somewhere else. But if you pass on Harold Fannin at this juncture, I mean, you're going to have to wait and really punt tight ends, because there's just extreme drop-off after these middle rounds. James, talk to us about Harold Fannin.
Yeah, I kind of think like where he's setting up right now is kind of the end of the I guess I would say premium tight ends. I saw him go in the sixth today pretty consistently. I've seen him go higher. I don't think I've seen him go later. I know that what we've said in the past has been you should punt on tight ends, but I feel like there is going to come a time here, as it does basically with all positions as they fluctuate in value over the years, where it starts to turn over. And we're at a really good place, I think, with tight ends right now, where the top third of the guys who should be starting are going to be really reliable targets. I think Harold Fannin is the last of those guys, or if not last, maybe second to last. I would feel really good getting him if I have to choose between getting my tight end or getting a flex who I'm not totally confident on. I feel good about taking Harold Fannin in the sixth, but as always, where you pick a tight end depends entirely on how you want to build your team, and going earlier than that really messes with how you with how your team composition ends up being. That 6, 7, 8, that slot there, that makes me feel a lot better about paying what is a very small premium for tight end. So I like Harold Fannin there. Any other tight end or any other Browns to talk about? The Browns did draft two tight ends in the 5th and 6th round, mm-hmm. Joe Royer from Cincinnati and Carson Ryan from BYU. Neither of which I expect to be all that significant, mm-hmm. but
in the rest of their draft, though, 3 out of the first 5 picks all offensive line, so
which is exactly what you want to see.
Mm-hmm. You build like, a team from the offensive line and quarterback positions.
Yep. For all of the crap that the Browns get for institutional badness,
ineptitude, institutional ineptitude.
Yeah, that they did exactly what everybody in the world says they should do. So let's see about the Ravens now. The Ravens were one of the big underachieving stories in the NFL last year. Gone is John Harbaugh. And not a whole lot of different look here in the actual composition of the offense. But the first guy we got to talk about is Lamar Jackson. Last year, you drafted him at a premium. He either went as the first or second quarterback off the board in your drafts. This year, we're seeing him as the quarterback too. But that is after last year, it looked like Lamar Jackson forgot how to play football. He just looked lost out there on most weeks. And It kind of seemed to me watching him like his brain was exploding. And I don't feel like I can be confident in taking Lamar Jackson as the QB2, knowing he's going to go in the 3rd round right now. Knowing that I can't really see anything to confirm that he's going to be one thing or another. So I feel really sketchy about Lamar Jackson, where he's going right now, Stu. What do you think?
Oh, it's very, very risky. I mean, another big point of this is that he has always made his money on the ground with his legs. And with south of 350 yards rushing last year, that was an incredible disappointment for anybody who took him in drafts. His arm has not ever been his calling card. He's 63%. Percent completion percentage last year. I mean, it's not good, but you could always rely on him to run, and we couldn't even rely on him to do that last year. So it is a very risky, high upside move for the first 3 rounds, something that I personally am happy to let my league mates do. Of course, my own personal philosophy hasn't really changed from year to year, but taking those early quarterbacks, I'd better have some confidence in this person. I don't want to be making these risky selections when I could go and fill a position of need at my skill positions. I mean, I only need one quarterback. You can find a good quarterback, Baker Mayfield, really late in drafts and do just fine in that department. To pay a 3rd-round price on Lamar is not something I would really endorse at this point. We'll just have to see exactly how things shake out there, James. But you didn't even say anything about Baker Mayfield. You didn't even laugh.
Oh, Stu. I will say to all of our listeners, Baker Mayfield in single quarterback leagues is going to go undrafted in most of your leagues. So,
but James, where will he end? Where will he end? And also, outside he will not go undrafted 15. In all single quarterback leagues because
I didn't say all. I said most.
Exist. I'm just saying. I exist.
I said most. But anyway, your Lamar Jackson take, absolutely correct. It is, by the way, Jesse Minter, the new head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. He was the OC for the Chargers in the past. And as we've said before, went to the same high school as us two. So
I guess. It's a big yawn fest for me. I just don't care. I don't see enough change with the Ravens to get me super excited about them. The one thing I am excited about, James, is Derrick Henry a value? Because I think Derrick Henry is a value.
He is. He is absolutely a value. I'm seeing him as the RB14 in PPR. I'm not sure what he is in standard. Do you have that?
I can pull it up here in just a hot second. He
but while
is
you're
running
that
back
up.
6 in standard.
Oh, whoa, really?
According to Fantasy Pros 2026.
That's wild. Going from running back 6 in
well, he
in standard
never
in
he never catches the ball. I mean, this is something that we know about him. He had 21
that
targets and 15 receptions in all of 2025, and that's not a number that's going to grow astronomically. He is still incredible. 300 carries, 1,600 yards, 16 touchdowns. Are you kidding? This dude is a beast. It's wild.
And he as you said, he has become a value. I'm seeing him going in the third round, a guy who probably will finish the season as an RB1, even with the slow start he had to last season. He finished as the RB8, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So in PPR, that is. So this is a guy who I think he's 30 now.
32.
How old is he's 32. Okay. So he's not getting any younger, but the way he's built, that kind of body style tends to last for a little bit. So unless he gets injured, he is going to continue running through people's faces when he gets into space. And that's another thing about Derrick Henry. We think of him as being this giant bruiser of a guy. He can be, but really where he's at his best is when he's in space. Because if you get him one-on-one with a defender, he'll just run through the guy and act like he's not even there. We've seen him dribble people's heads off of the pavement, and it's just Derrick Henry in his mid-season form, especially late-season form, is truly a pleasure to behold. And if I get him in the third round as the RB14, I'm thanking my lucky stars. I am just having a great time with it. So Derrick Henry, slam the draft button.
I would be excited to get him in the second. If you got him in the third, like, pop some champagne. That is crazy. We're riding this train until the wheels fall off. Like I told you, I told everybody last year, like, until he can't do it anymore, I won't believe that he can't do it. Like, I will gladly be the person with Derrick Henry on my team when the wheels fall off, because you took him and there is no faulting your logic. He's been doing this for a decade now. He's not even human. It's insane. I don't even have anything to add on top of your analysis, James. I'm just waxing philosophic at this point. I'm just talking to talk because, come on, people, this is Derrick freaking Henry right here. This is King Henry. They don't give
I
that
will
nickname
say
to
real
anyone.
Quick, though,
yeah, go ahead.
I will say about Derrick Henry, I'm not going to stand on the table for him, because the last time we tried to stand on the table for somebody, that guy had a horrendous season.
He got hurt,
his season. So
I don't really blame that him.
Well, now it's a superstition thing. I don't want to stand on the table for anybody. I want to see have a good season.
I will keep my feet firmly on the ground and my butt firmly in this office chair for Derrick Henry right now.
But Stu, how about you go ahead and take us to the wide receivers then? Because this is a position group and specifically one player who I have a hard time wrapping my brain around, so I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I just have a hard time giving Zay Flowers credit. He's an incredibly...
Giving Zay Flowers his flowers?
I suppose. I think, his bouquets. It doesn't matter. He ended up having a really, really excellent season in a year that we have already said was disappointing for the Ravens overall and Lamar Jackson, the guy who was throwing him the ball. 86 receptions, 1,200 yards. He's never been a huge touchdown guy, which is a big knock against his profile. He had 5 last year, but he was a wide receiver 1 last year, and you said it before we got on air. Neither of us guessed that. It was the quietest wide receiver 1 season maybe ever. Just south of 120 targets. I don't know if we expect a whole lot more of that, because the Ravens, I don't think, are going to be a very pass-happy team, what with, you know, Lamar Jackson's arm, and then the bereft nature of pass catchers outside of Zay Flowers. Right now, he is going at a high price as a result. He's going in the third round as well, James, at least what we have in our notes here, as a wide receiver 19. So that's a pretty price to pay for a smaller, I guess I'll call him undersized receiver, who does a lot of good in open space, but between the 20s, not in the red zone sort of deal. For fantasy, we love those touchdowns, so I'm not huge into Zay Flowers in this consideration. Like, he'll be drafted this high, and it will not be to me. But his competition outside of this, he's very Jerry Jeudy-like. He's got a lot of rookies, and then Rashad Bateman, if you want to talk about Rashad Bateman, but I don't want to talk about Rashad Bateman. So I'm going to talk about Jacoby Lane, the third round selection, and just after that in the fourth round from my Indiana Hoosiers, Elijah Surratt. Both guys that have a really good opportunity to break into the league quickly, garner a lot of targets, especially later in the second half of the season. People that you want to have on your radar, if not draft day, but on the waiver wires. James, talk to us about the wide receivers, if you have anything on the rookies, and then, of course, the man of the hour, Zay Flowers, as we give him his laurels.
I do want to say about Zay Flowers, to kind of like hesitate to give him his flowers. Yeah, he was the wide receiver 7, but you always want to look at how those points are distributed over the course of the season. So between weeks 1 and 14, so the entire regular season, Stu, do you know how many touchdowns he had in that time?
2.
Take a guess.
Just 2.
He actually only had 1, and it was in week 1 in Buffalo, and that was his second best game of the season. He had 27 fantasy points in week 1, and after that, he didn't get over 14 until week 14. So a lot of those performances we see during that fantasy regular season were really nothing to write home about. It was a lot of 11s and 10s and 12s, and he even had week 13 against Cincinnati, he had negative points. So a lot of that distribution comes during the playoffs, where he had 15 fantasy points with the touchdown against Cincinnati, 20 against New England, and you know, a lowly 13 against Green Bay. But that also kind of speaks to where the wide receiver position was last year. It wasn't what we thought it was going to be. It was really a pretty depleted market. So you got to kind of think about how you want to approach wide receivers, knowing that this year, is it going to continue to go that way? Is it going to continue to be kind of a few superstars, if that, and then a guy who can have what would be a pedestrian season most other years, being the wide receiver 7. It's just something to think about. But getting to the rookies and Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt, both of these guys, I think, have the talent to become maybe not high-profile wide receivers in the NFL. I think Jacoby Lane probably has the clearer path to fantasy relevance than Surratt does. But Surratt definitely could as well. Both of these guys are entering a situation where they can kind of learn from Zay Flowers, where they get to play with the dynamic Lamar Jackson, and could develop into... I don't think the ceiling for either of these guys is elite, but they could definitely be impact players. And if nothing else, get somebody to take a little bit of heat off of Zay Flowers, because no one at the tight end position is going to do that anymore. Mark Andrews is not going to come out of that tunnel and play like he did when he was a tight end 1. None of the other names at tight end I even feel like I need to talk about. But Stu, do you think the Ravens are making the playoffs this year?
Ooh, maybe as a wild card. I don't know if they beat the Bengals in division, but I think so. I would say yes. If you want yes or no, I would say yes.
I don't think they're winning the division, but like I could see them maybe being like a 7 seed. Like they'd have to kind of tooth and claw their way in there, but I'm not sure. I think they're a 7 seed, if that. But Tyler Loop also there.
He's a kicker.
He is a kicker.
Mark Andrews still diabetic, still with the Ravens.
Still,
do you know,
somehow
he actually had more targets last year than he did in 2023 and 2024.
Really,
kind of wild, right? I mean, that 2024 season he only did well because he had 11 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been pretty bad for the last three seasons outside of that. So not really anything too fun there. But that's the Ravens. That's the Browns. We get to talk about the Steelers. Oh, God. Steelers next time. But the Bengals, too. We get to have some good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Closing thoughts, if you're ready for mine.
Yeah. Okay. Give me yours, Stu.
As always, I will plug the socials, Instagram, and on X, Fantasy Footbeer at both. On both platforms. We take beer requests at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. We also have the always lovely fantasyfootbeer.com if you want to read some, you know, I can't think of an adjective, thoughts of James's different blog posts, as well as you can get the most recent podcast episode there too. But thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you all had a better day at work than I did. I had a couple of old patients, and one of them was an especially grabby man. Didn't really love that.
Grabby.
Yeah. He's not going to get the opportunity to work with any of the ladies in my office again.
Oh, no.
So I'll be the only one that sees him, because when he grabs me at least on the shoulder, which is fine.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were saying that kind of grabby. Oh, no.
I mean, it wasn't like that kind of grabby. In his defense, it was more of a, like, he kind of caressed my hand for a little bit too long kind of thing.
Okay.
But anyway, James, wrap us out for the evening on that note.
Well, with that, let me grab the baton and run with it here. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another exciting episode of Fantasy Footbeer. We love having you guys here to listen to our looking for adjective thoughts. Enjoy a beer on us this week. We are fully into the summer? Has summer officially started?
You know, one of my patients asked me that today. I actually don't know.
Okay. Well, we don't know when summer actually starts, but guys, it's June. The sun is out. It's like 80 degrees outside. It's summer. Have a great time out there. If you have kids, they're hopefully not in school right now. Hopefully you are not in school right now, except for, shout out to Ryan Mendez Tucker. We're thinking about you in med school out there in DC. But for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Pixel the Cat and Indy the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night and good talk.